Hi, loves. Welcome back to Mommy on the Move. This week we have a special guest. Since Sunday is Father's Day, it seemed like the perfect time to invite the guy who made me a mom. Well, you know, him and Jesus. Welcome, my baby daddy, DeAndre. Oh my God.
That's my.
He insisted on that being his intro music.
It's my intro right now. You go on Ellen, they give you music. So I'm on the Mommy on the Move. I need a little music to get me going.
Okay, Dre. Well, thank you for joining me. So we'll get right to it. So you're a dad of three boys. I hear guys all the time like, oh, that's so fresh. That's so fly. You got three boys. So how does that make you feel? How do you feel being the dad of three boys?
It's a blessing. You know, I remember our first time going into the doctor together and, you know, learning what the sex was going to be. And, you know, I was in there shaking, you know, wanting to be a boy. You wanted to be a girl. And, you know, the first thing we seen was him holding his penis. So I was excited about that. So it's been a great feeling, you know, just being able to raise three boys and, you know, with you. And, you know, I'm just happy. I'm happy I get to see them every day, get to see them grow. And, you know, I get to learn from them and they learn from me. And, you know, it's been a blessing just raising three beautiful boys.
Do you think being a boy dad would be different than being a girl dad?
Of course, I think so. I mean, I think I'll be more of a softer father.
Softer than you are, you think?
Yeah, yeah.
You're pretty soft now.
That's okay. You know, I love my boys. To death, you know, I treat them all the same, and I think if I had a girl, that, you know, it'd be times 10. So that's just how I am, and, you know, I'm real loving and caring, as everybody know, and It's just a blessing to have three boys, I'll tell you that much.
I agree. I've witnessed it. When our nieces come and visit, he turns to complete, like, ice cream, even more so than the boys, so... Even though I wanted a girl so bad, I'm glad I don't have another young lady to compete for his attention.
That's terrible.
I'm being honest. So did you know you always wanted to be a dad? Did you think you always wanted to have kids when you were younger? Were you like, man, I can't wait to do this. This probably seems like such a fun thing to do.
Well, no, actually. I think my oldest brother, my youngest... had his son DJ first, and then my oldest had twins, and there was three boys already in the family, to where I was basically, you know, in their life. And, you know, I seen my brother struggling with, you know, both twins trying to change one diaper, and then the minute he's changing his diaper, the next one had used the bathroom and he had to change that diaper. And, you know, my youngest brother was going through things with his son, so I was like, you know what, I don't want any kids. And, you know, my first year overseas, and end up bringing this beautiful young lady with me, and, you know, end up going through the process, and we end up having a beautiful son, and I'm happy we have him now. Mm-hmm. But I definitely didn't see myself having kids, but I'm happy and blessed with him.
Did you kind of step in, like, what was the role like for you and your nephews when they were really young? Like, were you even home or were you at college, or what was that like? Were you kind of like dad a little bit too, or just uncle? Or because I know I've seen the boys with your nephews with you now, and they all really look up to you as like still like another father figure. So was it like that for you when they were really young too, or what was that relationship like?
Well, yeah, we are really close. My older brother, we're close. My youngest brother, we're close. So we always like to just be there for each other. So when DJ was going through some health issues when he was younger, I think we all was there for him, from the cousins, the aunties. You've seen it yourself. You know, he had a little trait in his throat. So we tried to be there for him when I was in college. And, you know, he's a little motivation for me to keep going out there and doing well and, you know, keep trying to push myself. And I was always happy to come see him when I came home back to Detroit. And then when my brother had the twins, they actually lived with us for a little bit in my mom's house. So I was around them a lot. And then I ended up going off and moving away and just stayed in contact with them now. You know, they all taller than me, bigger than me. And they still look up to me and, you know, want to be here with me all the time. So they like my sons too, and I love them dearly. So it's just, you know, that's when I found myself, you know, You know,
just stepping in,
yep, trying to be a father figure to him.
Okay. How do you feel like your personal relationship with your dad helped mold you into the dad that you are now?
Great. Well, me and my father, we have a great father-son connection. He always been my biggest critic, and he still is to this day, to where I'm really hard on my oldest son, and I'm his biggest critic on everything that he does. And, you know, I kind of take a lot of things I learned from my father and trying to instill them, you know, into my son, whether it's him when he's doing his homework. I remember being at the table doing some homework and my father just sitting there with me, you know, pushing me to be the best I can be, you know, or being on the court, trying to push me to be the best I can be, or he always getting up, you know, taking me where I needed to go for, you know, when I had a basketball game, mm-hmm. or anything to do with school, he was always there for me. So I definitely see myself taking a lot from him because he's my biggest critic and he's my biggest supporter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's my biggest supporter, and he's definitely been a great role model for me growing up. And, you know, to this day, like I said, he's always calling me. Nothing's never great with him. You know, even when I went to the final four, the Sweet 16, he wanted to win the championship. So, and he's still on me about that. So it's nonstop with him. And that's how I see myself. You know, I get a lot of that from him, how I treat my sons.
Do you feel like that drove you to push you harder in life, period, in school and sports? You know, even now, you said you guys still kind of have that banter back and forth where it's never, I don't want to say good enough because I don't want to make it sound like something negative, but like he just has really high expectations of you. So do you feel like that increased the expectations for yourself? And then do you feel like you're trying to relive that between you and Dre as well, and like use that as the way that you push him forward as well?
Yeah, I think a lot of that comes from him, you know, and how he...
From your dad.
From my dad, mm-hmm. you know, how he pushed, you know, myself, my brothers, you know, all the hard work. He, you know, the three jobs he was doing. So he showed us, mm-hmm. you know, what hard work was all about at an early age, you know, from him, you know, same thing, my mom and, you know, taking care of her and showing us how to treat a woman. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I get that from, how I treat my wife. You know, we just talked about this the other day. It's like some of the things he's seen, some of these men, he never treated his wife wrong. Mm-hmm. And just seeing the way he love my mom and he treat my mom and, you know, the things he's going through with her now is just staying by her side is, you know, definitely has instilled that into our life to where, you know, I live my life the way my father lived his.
Yeah. I mean, I think we can agree, like, we both feel like it's important for the kids to see us as husband and wife too, and not just mom and dad. So mm-hmm. to embrace each other, to tell each other that we love each other in front of each other. And, Dre always talks about, you know, the kids always hear him say he thinks I'm beautiful. And I know that that rubs off on them because, like, he and Devin are so much alike. And Devin's always the first one at the door, like, Mom, you got your nails done. I like that color. Or you got a new color on your nails. Or you got your hair done. The other day, I got my eyebrows done Friday. And I picked him up from school. He said, Mom, you got your eyebrows done. He's so attentive. And I know that they get that from you because you're very attentive like that too, and in such a positive way. Like, they always hear you positively reinforce me as well. And I think it's so important that they see us as more than just their parents, but a couple who loves each other and wants to be together, not just because we have kids together, but because we really, you know, have a good relationship.
Yeah, especially with Dallas. I think I got to fight him off.
Dallas thinks he's my man.
Yeah, so we got to fight. We got to fight over you. And always let him know that's my wife. That's my woman. And, you know, he always think that you're his. So we're going to fight to death over that.
I mean, I am a little bit, but you know that's my bae. There's a lot of things that we do the same, but where would you say we differ the most in our parenting styles?
Well, I think you more of the bossier one, and, you know, you more aggressive. I think you get that from your father, because I mean his nickname is Boss, and he's that one that puts his foot down, and you get that from him, and you get that from my mom. You know, my mom is like the Madea.
Oh yeah, you know, Deborah, don't play no games.
Don't play no games. So I think that's you.
And I think you have to be, though, like, as a female raising men, I mean, they will be men. And so I think I felt like very early on I had to be tough now. So that way when they get taller and they're bigger and they're stronger than me, that they still, in the back of their mind, like, I'm bigger than her, but my mom is crazy. Because that's how y'all are still scared of your mother, like, no matter what. And so, not scared, but like...
No, we scared.
You scared. Mm-hmm. But I don't... Not that I want to instill fear in the kids, but I want them to always respect me, whether they... You know, and I know that there's going to come a day where... Even now, already, Dre's smelling himself already. He's getting a little bit... You know, every day he's walking up to me shoulder to shoulder. Mom, I'm almost taller than you. And I'm quick to let him know, and I will still drop you. So, you know, it's important. It's always been important to me, and I felt like... Especially because your schedule is what it is. Like, my mom used to be able to say, oh, well, when your dad comes home, you know, such and such and such and such is going to happen. Well, sometimes it's a week later by the time you get home. So I have to be the one to deal with it. I don't, you know, I was never able to really lean on that, especially when little Dre was really small, you know, and there were periods of time where we were apart for months at a time. Mm-hmm. It was just me. But I'm not afraid to use my resources. You know, you got two brothers, I got a brother, got a dad, your dad, you know, I'll call in the reinforcements when I have to, but for day to day,
you hold your own. And that's what I see, that they respect, you know, that you hear you doing a lot for them, and you know, they respect that. And you know, when it's time for you to lay it down on them, you do. And you know, when it's time for me to come home, if I got to discipline them, they, you know, they don't want that. I just look at them. Because I rarely do it. So when I do get mad, you know, they know it means something. So, but I think we're different in that part. I think you got more than the boss in you, and from your dad and from my mom. And I got like the softer side from my father and your mother. So, and that's what, you know, I think that's where we differ from, like, when it comes to parenting.
Do you feel like it would have been that way anyway, or do you think it reinforces it more because of your work schedule? Because sometimes I feel like because you're gone so much that by the time you come back, you don't want to have to be the enforcer. Is that, do you feel like that's accurate or no?
No. Me being gone is hard. But you know, we pretty much got some pretty good kids, but they don't give us too many problems.
No. It could be worse.
It can be worse. like I say, I think Lil Dallas, we call him Suge Knight. he gives you, but he's a Velcro baby. You know, when it's time for you to say something to him, he wants to hug on you. And Devin's just like so kind and a teddy bear that you scream at him, he starts crying right away. And then Dre, you know, you can just say boo to him, he just starts shaking. But like, other than that, man, I feel like we raised some good kids, and we raised them the right way, and we got a lot of that from our parents and how to raise our kids, and just seeing how, our grandmother, when she's around, and, you know, my grandmother, just seeing how they are with the kids. I think we take a lot of our parenting skills from both sides of our families.
I think we do. I also think that was a generation that was more physically disciplined, like they would physically discipline. I mean, we do what we have to, but it has to be pretty extreme for us to physically discipline the kids. But I feel like, you know, that our parents, our grandparents, like, everything deserves a whooping, like, from them. And so we get a lot, like, when we go up and visit your family, that our kids are spoiled, and they are. I mean, they are. But I think that aspect is very different, whereas we would rather discuss things with the kids and maybe take away things that maybe give them joy versus just physically disciplining them, like, you know, the older generation. Not older, but I'm not calling nobody old, but just like the generation before us. I feel like our parents were even raised, like, I mean, I never got any whoopings because, of course, I was an angel. So I don't know anything about that life.
I used to get the switch and the extension cord, so I know. And I was a nice one, but when I messed up, grandma said, go pick a switch. So I had to go to the tree, pick a switch, and she let us have it, you know, and now we just, nowadays, you get in trouble for doing some things like that. But
I want to know, did you ever, like, is that on purpose? Is that a decision that you made that you didn't really want to physically enforce the rules with your kids, that you, or do you just feel like it was just natural because that's the way your dad, because you kind of got it from both, you got it both ways. You got beat when you needed to get beat, and your dad was, and still is, very vocal and as a communicator and likes to sit down and talk to you about the consequences and, you know, his expectations. And so do you feel like that's just naturally the way that you handle conflict, or do you feel like it had an adverse effect where you felt like, I got whoopings when I was younger, so I don't want to do that when I'm having my kids?
I mean, you learn from it, you know, and that's why I tell our kids, anything you're doing, you can't get past me because I done it before, you know, so it's like, you learn from your mistakes and you try to teach them the right things to do, and hopefully they don't come here and, you know, and make those same mistakes that we did as a kid. So, you know, I didn't believe in, you know, whooping them, just sit down and talk with them, help them understand, because those whoopings weren't no joke, you know, and I wouldn't want to put that on my kid, you know, because I think we raised them the right way to where we don't have to do those things. So not saying our parents didn't, but it was harder times then, and that was their method.
It just was a different time. Yeah, and that was the way that they handled things. But I think for us, and I feel like I can speak for both of us in saying it's important for us, for them to learn the longer lesson, the longer term lesson, where they're not just robots. And it's, I mean, because that was a generation of do what I say because I said it. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of explaining with our kids where, you know, our parents would never go into deep explain. Why do we have to do boop? And then you just got to go do what you got
to
do.
Then they explain to you afterwards.
Or they don't. Or you just had to do it because that's what I said to do. So, right. I mean, this open dialogue thing is new. It's definitely a our generation type of thing. But I know for me, I'm good with it because I want to raise thinkers. I don't want my kids to, because they're going to leave us and then go to work. And then be out in the world. I don't want them to just follow what somebody else says just because they said it. Question everything. Now, of course, that sometimes sets us up for a longer conversation and things like that. But I want them to be thinkers and to be to think outside the box and to not just do what everybody tells them to do. So I felt like it was important to me to raise our kids that way for that particular reason. Okay. Who do you go to for parenting advice?
Well, of course, my parents. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't, I mean, they raised us, and I'm 34 now, and, you know, he's still raising me. He still called me his baby. Mm-hmm. And I see why now, as little Dre get older, and he's 10, and I'm still saying he's my baby. So I go to him for, you know, for parenting advice, you know, when we're going through things, and, you know, I want to understand, and our kids, the way they are, is like, he acts like my older brother, you know, Devin acts like me, Dallas act like,
just like
my younger brother, Deontay, so it's like, I go to them and say, man, you know, why is he doing this? Well, you did this, and they explain it to me, and, you know, I try to understand it, so, and then I always try to reach out to, you know, older men who have kids and who's raised the right way, like, you know, our pastor or, you know, some of our coaches that I, you know, even Coach B now, you know, I talked to him about, you know, parenting skills and some of the things he did, because right now me and Dre, we butt heads when I'm trying to teach him. You know, I'm trying to coach him up, you know, he won't listen to me, but, and I play professional, you know what I'm saying? I play with, you know, the best of them, and, you know, I play where you're trying to go and beyond, and he still won't listen to me, but he'll go listen to someone else. So I talked to Coach B and said, hey, how did you, you know, deal with parenting your sons to where, you know, you didn't bump heads with them? So I just try to reach out to older people and who has older kids too.
Do you ever have flashbacks of, like, you and your dad on the basketball court and your dad is trying to tell you something and you like, this old man don't know what he talking about. He can't see me. I'm better than him. Like,
All the time. All the time.
My daddy, so you know exactly what's going through Dre's mind.
I know exactly. So and I just sit there. I laugh about it when I leave the gym. I try to be serious when I'm in the gym. But when I call my father and I talk about it, when he start laughing because he been through it with me. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny just seeing how he is now. You know, he got it better than me. You know, I was in the backyard avoiding cracks and in the ground, and you know, didn't have the
on a concrete slab,
with a crate.
Yeah,
and you know, trying to be in the gym with Dre now, I definitely see flashes of myself, and you know, my father, you know, pushing me and mm-hmm. you know, pushing me around too. You know, trying to beat me up, trying to make me the best I can be. But you know, I appreciate him for that. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why I stay on Dre, because the way I made it out and the way I am now, I think he's going to be successful because of it.
So you brought up a good point. Like, your upbringing is even different than mine. He jokes a lot that I grew up with a silver spoon in my mouth because I did not. I did grow up in the suburbs, but he says because I never ate. What kind of sandwich is it?
Syrup sandwiches.
Because I never ate syrup sandwiches.
If you never had a syrup sandwich, you...
I have not. So yeah. Apparently that means I grew up with a silver spoon in my mouth. But I wanted to ask you this. Like, do you feel like because our kids are growing up with a certain level of privilege? I mean, we're far from, you know, rich, but we've had some pretty phenomenal experiences that we would have never dreamed of having at their age. How do you feel like we can prepare them for adversity when this is the life that they're living? I mean, the hardest day they have is like if I tell them they can't buy hot lunch. Yeah. That's a tough day for them.
Well, I think this is why we work so hard to, you know, do what we do so they won't have to go back and live the life that mm-hmm. you know I had. And
but some of that gave you the drive and the push.
It did. It did, but other guys has made it out as well. But it definitely gave me the drive, and I think right now our kids is, you know, like Dre, I don't think sometimes he understand the hard work and dedication that goes to things or the struggle. Mm-hmm. So that's why I took him back to Detroit and, you know, and I showed him that, you know, this is where I come from. Mm-hmm. You know, just seeing the neighborhood or, you know, seeing guys that didn't make it out or who's living on the streets, like, you know, you take that wrong path and then this could have been me, but...
And it could still be him, even though,
you know, and that's why I wanted him to see, like, this is why you have to push yourself in the classroom. This mm-hmm. is why mommy and daddy is tough on you in the class. This is why we tough you on the court. You know, this is why when you're in that field, we trying to tell you this is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think we do a great job of trying to, you know, and I think after we show him that, that's when I think he found a love for... You know, he's seen the homeless, like, wanting to take care of him, mm-hmm. wanting to feed him, because he had a kind heart. But, and it also made him work a little bit harder in the classroom. Like, he's a straight A student now. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of people don't know that, see him as a great athlete, but, you know, he really pushed himself in the classroom.
Oh, yeah, he wouldn't see a field or a court if he didn't have those grades together. So, absolutely.
And that's credit to you and the work you put in with him and, you know, Devin in Dallas and when I'm not here. And, you know, I think that.
That's credit to his teachers.
And credit to his teachers, too. You know?
Straight up. That's not me. That's his teachers.
But I think it's good that he's seen, you know, he's seen both sides. And, you know, he come here, he see how blessed we are. And, mm-hmm. you know, you go to certain other places and it's not the same. But I want him to be able to, you know, have that balance and be able to have that drive to push himself and to, you know, continue to grow and want to make it out like I did. And, you know, so... Hopefully he's seen that thing and he can continue to grow from it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's important that he sees and understands that this life doesn't come easy. Mm-hmm. And that it takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of dedication. And he was really young when you played overseas. And then, you know, when you started out coaching, making no money. You know what I mean? I mean, mm-hmm. and we had a small apartment, and it was the five of us were in this small condo, townhome, whatever, bursting at the seams in this. I mean, he doesn't remember that stuff. He remembers, you know, the house we have now and having his own room and his own space. And so it's hard to remind him of, that it wasn't just a leap. And that we didn't start here, that it was gradual and it took you, you know, years to get to where you are today. So I think it's very important that he stay in touch with other things outside of this bubble that we've created, you know, for our life, that there is more things out there and it doesn't always end up, you know, this way. So.
Well, as long as they all continue to grow and appreciate everything that's going on right now. Yeah. And, you know, I think they'll be okay. So we've been blessed.
For sure. So I've always complimented you on how involved you are as a dad, even with as busy as you are. The minute you come home, you're very hands-on with the boys. And we've talked about how, you know, your dad was really hands-on with you too. I mean, you changed diapers, you made bottles, you still will wash clothes if need be. He sweeps and mops better than me. Shout out to Deborah Haynes because she made that happen. Mm-hmm. So how do you prepare yourself and how do you handle the times where you're in the roles are reversed and I'm out of town and you're Mr. Mom? Because listen, Stella got her groove back now. She's living her best life. She, me, is her. And I was pregnant for 2 years straight. And then 2 years after that, I had infants and babies and toddlers. And I was like a helicopter mom and I wouldn't leave them with anybody. And so now I'm just like, somebody could come get these kids. Anybody could come get these kids because I got somewhere to be. And so luckily, I've been very blessed. A couple months ago, I got to go on a nice girls trip to Mexico. And Dre and my dad held it down. My dad came up and helped him out. But there are times, I mean, there's lots of times today, I, you know, if I go get my nails done or get my hair done or whatever, Dre easily steps in and steps into that role. So what is that like for you?
Well, first off, that's the best feeling to me is when I come home. I don't know if any other men out here got this way, but my sons run to me every time and give me the biggest hugs.
Will knock me over to the door.
That's the best feeling. I mean, it's every day. It's not like it's every other day. It's every day. So that along right there gives me joy. And it gives me joy that I'm able to spend time with them knowing that I have a busy schedule. Mm-hmm. And I love the reverse roles. Like, I mean, my mom has raised us we just mop the ceilings.
She literally bleaches the walls.
Yeah. So, I never had a issue with, you know, being a man, cleaning, cooking, you know, doing what I got to do because it works both ways. You know, we in this together and, mm-hmm. you know, you need those breaks. You know, just like the other day, I don't know, you called me and I said, go ahead and enjoy your day. Just go get your nails and done. Have a girl's day. So that to me, just you need that break. And, you know, I'm able to step in and get it done. You know, no matter what it is, I'm still their father and got to take over the role that you usually do. And that's okay with me.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm here for. It ain't just your job. It's my job too. So
tell me about a time that was like a great answer. I loved it. That was beautiful. But there are times, let's be clear, where the kids are like on 12. And so tell me about the time. Cause these are the times that I live for when you're like, how does she do it? That's what I want to hear about.
Well, I don't know. Maybe when you got Dallas in one bathroom, stuffing toilet paper down the toilet.
Yeah, there we go. Give me that.
The
yeah.
water running over in mm-hmm. one floor and Dre upstairs blasting music and Devin upstairs writing on the walls. So I don't know. It's just, it happens all the time, but, you know, they're kids and, you know, I know we got to, you know, try to, you know, I step into that Kevin Hart role and just go crazy on them, but
I know you're not in that toilet.
Yeah, so they give us a hard time at times, but we were all with kids before, and you know, I just laugh about it. But
do you feel like those times help you and give you like a little bit of more of a glimpse into what my day is like?
All the time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't tell you this all the time, but I call people and I'm like, man, I give her credit for what she do, man, because I. You know, even being in the car with them for like an hour, you know, I'll be ready to turn back around and come home sometimes. But, you know, they just trying to have fun. But they don't know how to turn it down.
Never.
You know, they always turned
no
up. And, yes. you know, we in the store the other day trying to get new phones. And they wrestling with somebody's kid we don't even know. You know, put them in a headlock and, you know, type it on the keyboards. And it's just things that they do as kids that, you know, we try to stop, you know, quit doing this. You know, get out the bowl. You know, it's just, but it's all funny right now. And, you know, just love being around them, though. Love being around them.
So tell me some of your most memorable fatherhood moments with each kid. I'm sure there's like a good story that you got for each of them, because there's tons of them.
I mean, I got a lot of stories, but like my favorite moments is I just say like with Devin. You know, I missed your pregnancy with Dre. He was getting off the plane,
and when I was having Dre.
Mm-hmm. So just being able to see Devin born or see his mm-hmm. first steps, that's probably one of my greatest memories.
Yeah, because that was some of the stuff you missed with Dre.
Yeah, I missed a lot of that stuff with Dre. Mm-hmm. And then with Dallas was, you know, him just always smiling and saying like, I'm so excited. You know, just seeing those moments in his face, and then just seeing Dre hit his first three when I worked at Kent State, and the enjoyment he got out of that. It's just so many stories, you know, or them just graduating. And Dre, you know, one thing I love about Dre is when he was in second grade, third grade, he did this like this little play, like We Sharks, and he's like the lead person in the play. He's up there with great stage presence, mm-hmm. not afraid. Just seeing him, you know, step up and being a leader, and you know, coming to it, letting his light shine. Yeah, his personality. Yeah. And their last one, their personality is just different.
So different.
And then it's just, you know, I have so many stories, but we'll be on here all day.
So of course you've mentored a lot of young men as a basketball coach. What is some advice that you've given younger guys? Because I know that they come to you and they come to me as well, but I want to know as a man, what type of advice you give them stepping into fatherhood?
Well, I mean, I got a few. I mean, I know with a couple kids, I coach actually had kids mm-hmm. now. It's just basically just being in your kid's life. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them have daughters, some of them have sons, and especially the daughters. I mean, I feel like a man that has a daughter, they really need to be in their kid's life and be there for them, treat her like a queen, treat her like a princess that she is. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to your boys, you got to treat them like young kings. And it's getting harder out here for our young men and our young women. So you just want to make sure you raise them the right way. You know, treat your significant other, your fiance, wife, whoever she's going to be, make sure you treat her right, because like I see the things that you do for our kids, and you know, I've seen how my mom has raised us, and I just try to give them advice that some things that I've seen over my years of being a son and being a husband is mm-hmm. just, you know, treat them the right way, raise them the right way, love them, you know, and make sure you be there for them, mm-hmm. and everything will work its way out for you.
So you mentioned your role as a dad and a husband as mm-hmm. it relates to work. How important do you think it is for the young men that you coach to see you in those roles, and to see, I mean, cause we're pretty involved. The kids mm-hmm. are always up at the gym. I mean, the guys come to our house pretty frequently and I cook for them, and you know, I talk to them too. And so they see us work together outside of basketball, like the Dre minus basketball. They see your real life. How important do you think it is that they see you in that particular light and in those roles as father and as husband?
That's a really important thing. It's just like Jordan Poole, for instance, like his mom and dad, just getting the messages from them. Just, thank you for mm-hmm. being there for my son. Thank you for taking care of him. You know, they call him my fourth son. And I think that's...
We get a son every year.
Every year. We get a son from J-Boy, when I say Kent, to Trey, and Willie, those guys at Toledo. It's just being like, you know, just that's to me, that's one of the most important things for us to see, for them to see me outside of my coaching mode, mm-hmm. to see me as a father. So then, you know, because when these parents bring their kids to us, they want us to be that father figure to mm-hmm. them, you know, and help them, you know, mentor them, help them grow for when they leave college, that they become a man. And I think that's the most important thing is when you leave here, you know, when you leave me, I want to at least have that impact on your life that say, you know, I want to be a father just like him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I want a wife. You know, I want to have a wife just like Coach Haynes. Mm-hmm. You know, just because I see you do a lot of things with them. And, you know, even talking to Trey today, we make sure we stay in contact with every last one of them. And just seeing, you know, seeing me in that form, you know, it's real form. They're like, man, you a real dad, you know. And they don't see that in me. So when they see me like that, they kind of understand. They mm-hmm. see me as that loving, caring father. And,
yeah.
You know, I treat them the same way, just like I treat my boys, and I'm around them more than I'm around my kids. Mm-hmm. So I got to show them the love and show them that, you know, the right way to live and the right things to do. And I just want to continue to, you know, mentor and teach these guys the right things.
And there's been a lot of players that where you probably are one of the only father figures that they've had, because a lot of the players you've had in the past have had absent fathers or, mm-hmm. you know, they're not around for whatever reason. So I know for me, it's been very eye-opening. And I tell people all the time, I see this more as your ministry than as your career, because to see you as a whole person, I feel like helps them be able to see themselves as a whole person. It's very stifling, I feel like, for somebody to start an identity at such a young age. So you're a basketball player since you were 5 or 7. And then you're that all the way up until we all know you can't play basketball forever, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this identity switch. And so for them to see you on the other side of playing basketball, creating a life, still having, you know, a healthy relationship, being a dad, being a provider, being emotional, being all of these things, and no longer being a basketball player is vital, in my opinion, because it's really hard for young men to step outside of that identity as a basketball player. So I think it's very important that the role that you play, and you in particular, but any guy that they can relate to, you know, we're not young, but we're not old yet either. Mm-hmm. And so we're at an age where we can still kind of relate, you know, and still be in touch with the kids that are on the team. And so I think it's from that aspect is very important too. So that's all I got for you today, babe.
Good.
I'm so glad we were feeling like this was going to be really weird, but I feel like we got into a groove. We were like,
yeah, we was grooving. But one thing I would say, I'm proud of you, you know, where you taking mommy on the move. And like you said, just to see where you are right now in your career and the things you're doing and the lives you're touching with mommy on the move has really made me proud. And just to see you doing it big, baby. my baby mama. So thanks, babe. I love you. And thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, thanks for being here. I'm glad we were able to talk about this time and your experience as a father this week. Moms definitely always get a lot of shine from Mother's Day, but I'm all about giving it up for the dads that deserve it as well. So it's definitely an equally as important role in creating a family, whether you're raising boys or girls or both. Momming ain't easy, but it sure helps to have a dad around to share it with. So from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for doing this journey with me. I wouldn't want to do it with anyone but you. Boo. We have such a long way to go with this parenting thing. It's literally the job that never ends. But I will say, I believe we've been able to enjoy the ride even when it gets bumpy. We are headed into uncharted territory with a preteen that has a one-way ticket to puberty. But thank goodness there's plenty of wine to get us through it. Because after all, life doesn't come with a manual. It comes with a mom.